You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
First of all, I just wanted to quickly touch on the domestic violence leave bill. We talked a bit about this a couple of weeks ago when National originally didn't want to support the bill. Prime Minister Bill English was saying that it would impose significant extra costs on businesses. It couldn't support it. This week that's changed. What changed the party position there?
Well, I recall saying to you at the time that it wasn't absolutely ruled out, but the initial position was we're not so sure about it. But when it came to considering the issue, and I think this is one of the real values of members' bills and Parliament and our caucus, is that we are willing to reconsider positions. And we came to the view that actually it's worthwhile sending to a select committee to have it examined in more detail. We still have a range of issues with it. The cost to business is one of them. But ultimately, it's important that these types of issues are examined properly. A select committee is the right place to do that. And Jan Logie raised some legitimate concerns. I have to say, when I was talking to you last week, it wasn't the easiest position to defend because there is a lot of merit in what Jan was raising. So those issues should be looked at in a select committee. The bottom line is we still need to ensure as a country that we're focusing more on domestic violence, giving the police more resources, having better information sharing between the courts and police and other NGOs, and giving NGOs the ability to assist people more as well with greater funding and greater resources. That's still the focus for the government for this particular issue. It's worthwhile being looked at in a select committee, so that's why the National Party supported it and the Parliament unanimously supported it going to a select committee.
Yeah, it's good to hear that it was kind of a unanimous decision there. And then moving on to superannuation, that's been discussed a lot this week. What is the kind of reasoning behind National deciding to raise the age of superannuation to 67, where it's normally, at the moment, 65?
Well, superannuation, whilst affordable right now, will continue to grow in cost. People are living longer, and we are seeing that the superannuation costs will be rising in the future as more and more people become entitled to superannuation. Our generation, Amanda, we'd be foolish to think that the super age will be at 65 when we get into our 60s. It's inevitable that it will raise. And so what we're signalling to the public is in this election, we'd like the public to make a decision on where they think super should sit. We're suggesting that in 20 years' time, we should start to move superannuation up so that it will reach 65 after it moves incrementally, but also that we ensure that migrants coming into this country spend a longer period of time before they're entitled to it. The age is often talked about in the media, and that's been the focus this week, but the second part of the superannuation proposals we've put forward to New Zealanders is that rather than migrants having access to superannuation after 10 years, they should commit 20 years to the country before they have access to superannuation. And I think that's been welcomed by a number of groups as well. But superannuation is an important part of our social fabric in New Zealand, but it has to be affordable long-term as well. After it would raise to the age of 65 for entitlement, it would also be pegged to the... It would increase by the rate in which life expectancy increases as well. You can't just set an age 1 year and expect that age would still apply for decades into the future. So it's appropriate that we peg it to statistical life expectancy as well. So it's, in a nutshell, what we're looking at, the amount would not change where it's currently set at a proportion of the average wage. And because it's set at a proportion of the average wage, it has been increasing every year in New Zealand since we've been in government, and that would not change. It's simply that the age of entitlement would move out as New Zealanders are living longer and longer.
Yeah, and you mentioned that kind of life expectancy and that it's based on that. There has been a bit of discussion this week that there is that 7 year still difference in life expectancy for Māori compared with Pākehā, in that Māori men only have an average life expectancy of 72 years, Pākehā men on average live until 80. Those statistics are slightly higher for women, but there is still that stark difference there. How does raising the retirement age across the board cater for these differences? I mean, that means that the average Māori man will only have those 5 years after the superannuation kicks in.
Well, I think the beauty of our system is its simplicity. It's universal, it's not means tested, there is an age and there is an amount. You apply for it, and if you meet the criteria, you get it. We don't have great holes in the system. And I think that's to New Zealanders' benefit as well. The The answer, I think, to what you're raising is to work hard as a nation to lift Māori so that they're no longer at that point and below other New Zealanders, that are not of Māori descent when it comes to those statistics. New Zealanders of Māori descent are behind when it comes to education as well. That's why we're focusing on increasing education rates. They're behind on health statistics as well. So we should focus on ensuring Māori have greater access to healthcare and in an appropriate way where we can target it to Māori. Māori are higher represented in statistics when it comes to the justice system. Well, we should work on health and education and workplace statistics and assistance for Māori so that they're no longer as highly represented in the justice system. The answer, I think, to the issue is not to just have a separate superannuation set of rules and criteria for Māori. It's to try and lift Māori across the board. We have talked in previous weeks about our social investment approach and our approach of not just being the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, but trying and finding out why New Zealanders in particular settings are failing in some way or another. I think we can apply that to this situation as well. Rather than saying Māori should be treated differently, let's work out how we can help Māori to lift their achievement rates, lift the rates of access to healthcare, access to education, so that Māori across the board do better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all of those things are definitely important, but I don't see necessarily why it needs to be one or the other. Could we not work on those healthcare and education systems at the same time as taking into consideration that really quite a significant difference in life expectancy, when that is going to make a huge difference in people's lives?
You could design a system however you want. You could have as many different criteria points in there that you want. But I think having it as simple as possible makes it easier for New Zealanders to understand. And I think I'd actually say it's fairer for New Zealanders when it is across the board, one rule fits all. We should be working to help Māori lift rates of achievement, not necessarily just saying there's a problem, so change the superannuation criteria. If other parties are proposing that, then this is all about going to the people at election time and proposing different solutions to the public. And if the Māori or Mana parties want to propose that, they're fully entitled to do that. But I think simplicity in the system and having a system which is easy for New Zealanders to understand, doesn't have a whole lot of holes in it where you can, you know, have different criteria and different exemptions and whatnot. Having it simple is good for New Zealand. It's a bit like our GST system. We're seen as world leaders with GST because it's simple, it's across the board, it's easy to understand. And that's how our superannuation system's been too. It's been very easy to understand, and everyone, if they meet the criteria around residency, are entitled to it once they hit 65.
Yeah, so
saying that would change at 67.
You have just mentioned this like simplicity, one rule for all thing, but you did talk a minute ago about having a different rule for immigrants' eligibility and that. How does that reconcile with each other?
Oh, that's about commitment to the country. If you're going to say to people you're entitled to access to taxpayer support, you have to draw a line at what point they get access to that. Should they get access to it as soon as they become a permanent resident? Or should they get access to it after 10 years, as is currently the rule, or 20 years? The general principle would be that if you are migrating to this country and you're older and you're coming at a certain point in life, you should be a net contributor to the country. And so if you are coming here and expecting to get access to a whole range of benefits and assistance from day one or at an early stage, you're probably wrong. The expectation is that migrants are able to support themselves when it comes to living costs and when it comes to the ability to fund their lifestyle in New Zealand. And so we're saying we think it should move out to 20 years. I'm anticipating your next question might be around the likes of refugees or those that struggle and those that may come in for reasons other than migrating for business or family reasons. If someone is a New Zealand citizen or resident and they've only been in the country in a relatively short period of time, but they've come as, say, a refugee, there's still a whole lot of access to social services that would still be there to support them. And so, you know, a refugee that comes here at 55 they would still get access to social services that would assist them during a difficult period in their life as they transition.
And is that that same superannuation, that one rule?
It wouldn't be superannuation. It would be access to normal welfare options that are there for people that need assistance. And people that are on superannuation, they can still access housing accommodation support. They can still access additional support to assist them with particular difficulties they might be having in their life. We're just saying that the superannuation that's accessible to everybody, once they hit 65, that would change to 67.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.